The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, July 6th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. American savings swelled to record levels during the first 2 years of the pandemic as people socked away trillions of dollars in unspent cash. But then along came the highest inflation in decades. And for a lot of people, that's changed the math around savings.
They're starting to kind of dig into that extra money. And the government assistance that helped contribute to this big pile of savings, you know, those are not coming anymore. So that is contributing to this.
On today's show, we'll talk with WSJ reporter Rachel Louise Enzine about how people's savings are holding up and how some people are managing their finances to avoid having to dip into savings. That's after the break.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Inflation is at levels not seen in four decades, and that's causing Americans to start using up the savings they built over the first 2 years of the pandemic. So with inflation showing no signs of coming down significantly anytime soon, what does that mean for Americans' finances? WSJ reporter Rachel Louise Enzine has been looking at the numbers, and she joins us to discuss. Hey, Rachel, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, Rachel, Americans' personal savings rate rose to record levels at the start of the pandemic, thanks to government assistance and people staying home for several months. How's that cushion holding up?
So the savings rate was at 5.4% in May. That's below the average of the past decade, though, and it is far below the pandemic era record. So, you know, folks are still saving, but it's really nowhere near the levels that it reached during the pandemic. And so there is this cushion of money that folks socked away during the first 2 years of the pandemic. And people are starting to tap into that. They've tapped into, one economist estimates, about $114 billion of their pandemic savings so far. That pile of savings is about $2.7, $2.6 trillion. So there's still a lot left, but they're starting to kind of dig into that extra money. And the government assistance that helped contribute to this big pile of savings, you know, the child tax credit, monthly payments that were coming in for a lot of families, the stimulus checks that hit people's bank accounts three times, those are not coming anymore. So that is contributing to this.
Has this affected people across all income groups?
You know, what Moody's Analytics found is it is affecting most income groups, but not folks at the very bottom, which is pretty interesting. So the bottom 20% of earners have actually fared better than everyone earning more. I mean, you have to put this into the context of the fact that the highest group of earners, the wealthiest people, they saved far, far more than other groups during the first 2 years of the pandemic, just because they generally kept their jobs and didn't have like the vacations and extra things to spend money on. So, you know, that group did really well for the last 2 years, but they are starting to kind of eat into that savings cushion. And the bottom 20%, which has saved some, but, you know, not as much, is still, you know, holding on to their extra pandemic savings. And that seems to be because a lot of those folks have jobs that have gotten really big wage increases, jobs in retail, hospitality, things like that, and therefore are able to kind of keep up with inflation and continue to save. And what JP Morgan has said, for instance, that's the biggest bank in the US, is that checking account balances of families within the lowest income group are still 65% above pre-pandemic levels.
All right. Now, you've spoken with several people who are dealing with high costs and how it might affect their savings. How are they coping?
So, you know, folks keep citing the same costs that are really hitting everyone. You know, they say the grocery bill is higher, obviously gas, you know, most Americans, that is something they are really concerned about. It's hitting them hard, the rising price of gas. And, you know, people are just cutting costs, you know, where they can. I spoke to a 24-year-old who said he plans to cancel. He has this like meat subscription service that costs about $150 a month. He's going to buy fewer books. So these are, you know, little extras that he had been able to cover before, but now that he's being hit with higher costs and doesn't want to eat into his savings too much, he is going to try to cut back on these extras. And if he is not able to cover, you know, some of his expenses with his income, he does plan to dip into his savings, which is mostly in the form of investments. And I had mentioned that the child tax credit expired at the end of last year, the expanded child tax credit, where folks were getting money up to $300 a month just deposited in their bank account. We did speak to a couple in Connecticut that, you know, found that the monthly payments were a really helpful thing for their budget. And now that they are not getting them, they are dipping into their savings. They are concerned about higher prices on gas and groceries. And the mom, they have two kids, the mom is considering returning to work full time in part to just really help them financially and make sure that they don't squander their savings. So this dynamic is really affecting people's job decisions. Folks are turning to their credit cards. That same 24-year-old that I just mentioned, he had put these extra expenses on his credit card thinking, well, hopefully I can free up the money next month to pay my credit card bill instead of just going straight into his investments, which are his savings. And that obviously is something that Americans often do. You know, there actually had been a long period of time where Americans had been like paying down their credit card debts. So it will be interesting to see what happens with that in the future.
Now, it's good to have the credit cards available to help make purchases and stay afloat. But what are some of the trade-offs people face when they do that?
Well, you know, credit card debt is very high interest debt. So if you're not able to pay it off quickly or the month after you incur it, you're going to be paying interest on that. And it can be really expensive, especially with rates going up. So it may seem like a good lifeline to use, but it can be a big trap for people. And that's always been the case.
So for a lot of families, Rachel, the savings they've been able to build up is a welcome cushion that's helped them deal with inflation. But what else are they concerned about that could cause them to dig further into their savings?
Yeah, I mean, people are concerned about the state of the economy broadly. You know, there's a lot of talk of a recession, and they're also concerned about other upcoming payments. For instance, the end of the student loan moratorium. Obviously, there's been many times they've said it's going to, okay, we're going to make you start paying your student loans again. And it really hasn't happened yet. But as of now, people are going to have to start paying their student loans again in the fall, which for many graduates is a pretty sizable payment. So that is something that a lot of people who have saved a lot are bracing for and think may make continued savings kind of difficult.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Louise Ensign. Rachel, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.